Hello, you are listening to Skip Intro. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today is Ian McNally and Julian Yap. We are sadly missing Bahe, who is, deep in Raya prep by now. I'm not sure. But it's a pity because we're talking today about Netflix's latest romantic comedy, Always Be My Maybe.
Hey, yo, it's time to get the party. You're opening a new restaurant and I need you in San Francisco.
Hey!
Hi, Marcus.
Yeah, hi, Sasha. Hi. Hello. Hi. What's up?
I guess I have to start dating again. Ugh, is there anything worse?
You and Marcus are so cute. Remind me why you never got together?
There's way too much history there.
You don't want to wonder what if. Tell her how you feel, son.
First up, strong Mariah reference, but also this movie has been touted as, I guess, quietly revolutionary in its own way. It features two Asian American leads falling in love. It has a lot of rom-com tropes. It also avoids a lot of it. So I guess we should start with the story. So we've got Ali Wong on one hand, and then we have Randall Park on the other.
But yeah, she plays Sasha Tran, and Randall Park plays Marcus Kim, who are neighbors. She's a latchkey kid who hangs out at his house all the time. As they eventually grow up and get to their teenage years, where they adorably played by the adult versions of themselves, but with braces and bad hair. I really like it when movies do that.
And in a way that it doesn't make them seem like they're just putting on braces and dressing like the times. They actually look like they are maybe 18.
Yeah. They look zitty.
Yeah.
So after a traumatic event, the two of them hook up and then have the mother of all arguments in a Burger King and go their separate ways for 15 years, coming back together again when Sasha moves back to San Francisco, where she's now opening a restaurant, and they start to come back into the orbits of each other's lives. From the off of this movie, as soon as they started playing, it was like an 80s cover of Young Americans, which came out in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Straight away, I was like, whoa, what's going on here? And there's no meet cute. They're already meeting cute. They've already met. They've already continued. It already kind of like, I was surprised by what was going on from the instant the movie started.
And it sets up a lot of interesting dimensions, right? Because on the one hand, you have the classic sort of successful rom-com lady who has mm-hmm. a relatively whimsical job. She's a celebrity chef. And then you also have your classic rom-com slacker guy who is...
he looks like a homeless astronaut.
Pretty much, still living at home, still hanging out with his very sweet dad.
With the same friends for the last 15 years, in the same band.
Laboring under the same... block success. His success is block dependent. Mm. They're very successful on one block of San Francisco's Chinatown. and so it was very cute. And I was worried that they were going to play lean really hard on the successful woman, downtrodden guy trope. And so that was, I think, one of the first of the things that they sidestepped as a film that I was really pleased with. I mean, they played with it. It's not that they didn't address the power dynamic factor, but they didn't lean so hard on it to the point where it's like, and you never support me. Yeah, well, that fight, such as it is, never quite happens. And I was glad for that.
Yeah, they have other fights that are quite interesting and very human, very normal. They're the kind of fights you do have when you've done... And the main fight comes from being awkward after a close moment. And we've all been there and it's just really well measured. And doing it in a Burger King is like, adds to the awkwardness. And yeah, they're both emotionally raw and it feels... Despite the jokes and everything else, it feels real. Like they're both smart people. The fact that he has the slacker trope, he's not actually that much of a slacker. He's more just kind of laziness and coming up with reasons
stuck in
his ways, coming up with crutches to keep him where he is. Like his dad needs help, whereas his dad's like, I'm fine. Also, his dad is awesome.
Mr. Kim is. Well, I mean, aside from the three great, great leads, Mr. Kim is my favorite character in this, I think.
Mr. Kim could have been, I think, in the hands of someone else, in the hands of a different scriptwriter, different filmmaker, would have just been like a terrible Asian dad. There was real potential for it. But there is the very first moment where he hangs out with his adult son.
Mm.
I'm not going to spoil it because it's great.
The bedroom scene.
Yes. I really wasn't expecting it. Yeah. I loved it.
You're expecting judgment and you get a lot more fun.
The fact that they didn't do any tiger parents. So there are no tiger parents in the film. And I really appreciated that because they had two sets of Asian parents and they're clearly sort of...
they never really say what her parents are. I mean, she's doing Visit Vietnamese Cuisine and Ali Wong is
and
partially
her surname
Vietnamese.
Is Tran. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm guessing that she's supposed to be of Vietnamese descent.
Yeah. Mm. It's clearer on Randall Park's side that his family are like doing Korean food and stuff like that. So they kind of sell that a bit.
It's not just Korean food, right? So that's the basic setup of the film, and then a lot of stuff happens. But there's also a lot of like Asian specificity in the film. Like there's a scene where they're at a Korean bathhouse and they're getting scrubbed. And I'm thinking, man, if you don't know what that is, you're not going to know what's happening. Mm. But for the people who know, if you know, you know. And I just like that.
It's like little things that they just pepper in, like small things, like eating a regular meal with chopsticks, which doesn't seem like a big deal, but this was in Elementary as well. Lucy Liu's character as well, just eating regular food but with chopsticks. This is not something that you get in every film. You need Asian American, Asian leads, Asian storytellers to show this. And it's stuff like this that makes it feel nice. Stuff like the parking outside the dim sum restaurant, I loved. Because that's definitely a conversation.
Oh, everyone with the signs.
Yeah, that's definitely a conversation that I've had to stop. I love it.
I also love the fact that like Netflix must have learned from the To All the Boys I've Loved Before, where they were very clearly wearing shoes on their bed in their bedroom. They had a long scene where the kids take their shoes off, go through the house, and then put their shoes back on in the garden. Like, that was a nice touch as well, which is not just an Asian thing. They do that. My mother made me do that as well when we were growing up.
So I think what we're trying to say here is, we all liked it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that this... Well, I mean, we're going to continue talking about this, but just straight up at the moment, Netflix has become sort of king of rom-coms over the last year or so. They've been releasing one pretty regularly, like clockwork. Is this the best one so far, do you think? It's mine.
Mm.
Yeah, I will say that straight up, based on the ones that I've seen, based on Set It Up, based on To All the Boys I've Loved Before, based on... What's the Rebel Wilson one?
Isn't It Romantic?
Yes.
Really? I didn't think Isn't It Romantic was the same level. I thought The Crown was slightly slipping with the rom-com renaissance. This one was like the rom-com renaissance is back on with Netflix.
Yeah. I don't think that it's off the same, but these are the ones I've seen. So of the four now, for me, this one is like topmost.
I don't know what it is, but this doesn't feel like a Netflix thing.
Yeah.
I don't know the budgets. I didn't look at any budgets for this, but I don't know if they gave more money to this or if it's a more, maybe it's just more well-rounded just because it feels like more love was put into it. I really don't know. Maybe it's, you know, getting Ninotchka Khan as for her first directorial debut, you know, when she's originally done like TV and getting writers who are traditionally comic writers to do to write their own roles. Like, I don't know. This feels like this would have been great in the cinema.
Well, that's something I was wondering about, because while I think we're a little bit bombarded, we have problems with Netflix sometimes where we don't know what's happening. Things just appear on there, like The Wandering Earth. But with this, it seemed to be on my dash all the time. And it was like, oh, I mean, again, Ali Wong is kind of a Netflix celebrity in that I only know about her from Netflix. I wasn't following her on other stuff. And I was wondering if it was such an easy sell for the cinema, because the trailer kind of plays off their kids, you know, kids getting back together again. And they kind of, they push towards that scene at the end where they're at the market. But did you notice in that market, there's a woman who just clearly walks straight into Ali Wong and she kind of just keeps going.
I loved it. That is pure Asian auntie. Yeah. I love it.
And like, I wasn't sure, is that intentional or was she actually just shopping there and got in the way of the film crew?
Chances are, yeah. Yeah. She's but like, let me buy my groceries.
They kind of built up that moment a bit. Whereas I think if it had been a cinematic experience, they would have hidden a little bit more. Whereas if it's Netflix, you're like, I'm going to watch it anyway, but now I'm really going to watch it. I think it would have been, might have been packaged differently. Like the film itself, I think, would work very well in the cinema. It does have a weird structure, I did think, though. Like, it does feel in the middle like I'm settling into a TV show with some characters I really, really like, and I'm quite happy to do that now for six seasons and a movie.
Well, hold that thought, because we will come back to it. We're talking today about Always Be My Maybe, which you can watch on Netflix at the moment. Up next, we continue our discussion about this. You are listening to Skip Intro, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Hello, this is Skip Intro with Lynn, Ian and Julian. We're talking about Always Be My Maybe. I forgot to say, if you've already seen it, because you very well might have, let us know what you think. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can tweet us, Skip Intro MY, write us movies@bfm.my. So just to lay the groundwork, we were saying we all liked it, but we were talking about, I guess, whether or not it is cinematic, or whether it's a little bit more TV friendly, because it is made by people who have who have a background in television, who in fact all have a background in the same television show. And I get what you mean. I think that it had a little bit of a sitcom-y feel once you started to establish characters, partly because a lot of the people in the movie knew each other from high school. So you have Ali Wong's kind of manager, restaurant manager, Veronica, who also everyone knows from high school, who's also just casually queer, which was great. And then everybody in Marcus Kim's band was also from high school. So I think that maybe is what causes it to feel a little comfortable. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, because you settle into a groove of going to the gigs, where they're actually kind of decent. I really like the gig scenes in this because the audio's not great. You can't really hear him rapping, but he's definitely rapping.
And the songs are great.
Yeah, the songs are kind of great, but I would like to hear them on not in that area. It just sounds kind of, this audio was bad, not the songs were bad.
Anything but a football.
Yeah.
it's just, okay, this is where we are.
But when it settles into that, now that I'm thinking about it, and I think it's in ads, so we can say who turns up, but we shouldn't say who he's playing, I think. I think the thing that kicks the third act into overdrive is when Keanu Reeves turns up. We do have to talk about this.
Keanu Reeves in John Wick drag, just doing stuff. Like, it's so, I was thinking about this. I was turning it over and over in my head. How do we talk about Keanu Reeves and express the brilliance of his performance in this without talking about Keanu Reeves and spoiling it? Because, ugh.
Because I didn't know, like, who he was playing. And when that's revealed itself, that adds an extra layer to everything. And then the pretentious restaurant they're at is just fantastically bad. There's so much. What he asks for his dinner is just insane, and I could not stop laughing. Like, we should say, we haven't really said it. It's a comedy. It's very funny.
Yes, it is. It is very funny. Although, did you find that picks up? I didn't find it that funny at the start, so I didn't dive right into it. I found myself really into it at about the 15-minute mark, and then from then on, it had me firmly there. And you know, there were moments where I just went ha. But the start, I didn't find all that, like, I wasn't sure tonally where they were going, which is, I think, part of what you were saying, Ian, with the weird timeline, because they go back and forth, they travel here and there. And so for a little while, I think there's a bit of uncertainty about, hold on, where, what now? Yeah.
Plus, a lot of that initial humor is just a kind of friendly, barbed banter with each other. And it's not building up too much, whereas later it gets into more funny, playful insults that are on a larger scale, and Ali Wong screaming down the phone at Daniel Day-Kim, which is, I mean, it was in the trailer. That moment was kind of ruined for me, but Daniel Day-Kim just being a real, I can't even say, think of the word I can't say on the radio to describe him. He's great in this as well.
I actually just forget Daniel Day-Kim is even in this. And then on my second watch, I just remembered, Daniel Day-Kim is in this.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the fact that everybody who is supposed to be pretentious in this film does it really well. And that's one thing that, I mean, we've spoken about the basic frame of the story, and as a way to just get out of talking about Keanu Reeves, because otherwise we'll be here all day.
Yeah.
It is worth talking, I think, about how the movie takes aim not really at, like, rom-com tropes. It takes aim actually at people who are condescending.
Mm.
It takes aim at a specific level of ponciness, I think. And that's the stuff that's a very rich vein that they are managing to mine, because there's a lot of, like, restaurant humor. There's a lot of, like, you're fancier than me, that kind of humor, which I really enjoyed.
They put all of this in one person especially, and that's Jenny.
Yeah.
So that's Randall Park's girlfriend, and she's
terrible.
Wow, she's just so bad.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish that I got to eat her terrible food of sausage and
Viennese sausage.
Spaghetti and furikake on top. I just want to eat that. And her dreadlocks. She's just terrible. She's the most terrible person.
And she's, you know, like, they're all eco-aware but have, like, plastic plates and stuff.
Mm-hmm. This movie is also about an hour 35,
40.
Yeah, 40.
But it packs a lot in. Like, we're talking about an awful lot of different threads that you don't even realize they're threads until it's coming near the end. But yeah, the whole thing with like what you're just talking about, the relationships, that doesn't really come up really. Like it just like slowly ekes its way in there. And I talked before about like it's annoying in rom-coms if you have clever people. These people are very talented, you know. Randall Park very clearly has, you know, he's got his hang-ups about what's holding him back, but she doesn't. Sasha's moving on with her life. But they don't argue too much about that. It's ancillary stuff that he could still be the kind of stay-at-home guy, but he has to kind of step up a little. It's not like she's asking the moon or asking for the stars and he's only going to give her the moon kind of thing.
Do you know what it is? I think this film, it's super tight. There's nothing, there's no wasted lines, there's no wasted characters. Everyone's there to either build Marcus's and Sasha's friendship from the beginning and then their fallout and then their relationship further, or they're there to build up a picture of Asian American life in San Francisco today.
Mm. I was going to say not just no wasted characters, but I think no wasted characterization. So even little moments like how they're dressed, the way they interact with the world around them, the little zingers that they toss off from here, here and there, all that stuff also builds it up so that when they do argue, because otherwise it's just a whole movie of bickering or and then eventually people falling into bed, which is a rom-com thing and not always enjoyable.
It's because the third act has come, not because there's been any actual natural development in the characters. Whereas here, it feels like they're moving to a place. And then this movie also has a really, I was not expecting the sad side. I mean, there's two words. I think I can say them. I don't think it's a spoiler, but just saying Judy's Way. That destroyed me. I was not expecting that at all to happen. And that's on top of the revelation of what's been what's in the back room at the restaurant. And just, I was not expecting that from this movie at all. And I was in tears on the couch watching this at this point. I was just like, this is not what I was expecting from this movie at all, with the trailers with Keanu doing weird hands. And it kind of kicked it into the upper echelons then of rom-coms for me. That was just like, it's really done its job.
Going back to that issue of characterization, I think that's because the grief is introduced very early in the movie. It's very early. It's very real.
Out of nowhere again. It feels like a shock to the characters and to you.
It becomes a catalyst for a lot of different things that occurs. It becomes a reason and an anchor for some characters to behave the way they do. That's what gives the movie some gravitas. The other part of it is just it's clever. It's a clever movie. It's cleverly made.
That early grief is not like, hey, look, foreshadowing. It's basically like, well, this is something that happened in their lives when they were kids, and it's not like there's a cloud over them forever, but it's in the back of your mind, and then all of a sudden they slap you in the face with it and you're like,
can I say how glad I am that this film is this good? No, just because, you know, it sucks to say, but, you know, there is still risk in Hollywood or even Netflix for having a film led by two Asian American leads and featuring
one of whom is about 2.5 feet tall, smaller than the other one. I love, did you notice her shoe? I think she has the same shoes on in almost every scene. It just they must be comfortable because she can walk around San Francisco in them, but they add about 2 feet to her height.
Yeah, she looks great in them. So. Yeah. And I'm just so glad, like, after To All the Boys I've Loved Before, after Crazy Rich Asians, it shouldn't feel like a risk for studios to take, but I'm just so, so glad this works. And for a film that is so packed full of things that any person can recognize as something that is from Asian culture, and then someone who's actually from an Asian background to say, oh, and it just adds something to the story, I think that's so great. And I'm glad that this is so good. And then we get to see more. We're getting a lot more now, and I'm so excited.
And it comes out to, I think I've mentioned it before, that article that said, like, the more specific you are, the more general it can be. And I don't know if listeners don't know this, I'm not actually Asian. And a lot of the Korean bats thing for me, no idea what's going on there, but I can get the joke straight away. Like, they don't pander. It doesn't have to say, it doesn't have to be a big sign outside to say it. But, like, I get the joke. It works really well.
We all really enjoyed it. Let us know what you think. It's Netflix's Always Be My Maybe. You can WhatsApp us your thoughts, 018-789-8899. Tweet us, skipintromy, and write us, of course, movies@bfm.my. You've been listening today to Skip Intro, BFM 89.9.